for all the moms who raised us up, gave us love, and made us strong. For the praying moms who don't always know what to do, but always know who to talk to. For the hurting moms who've loved and lost, but never given up. For those who never got called mom, but who cared for us all like a mom would. For the young moms who became moms sooner than expected and gave it all they had. For the single moms who tirelessly and courageously learned how to do this on their own. For the stepmoms, foster moms, and adoptive moms who rose to the occasion and loved us well. For all the mother figures who opened up their hearts and their homes again and again, thank you. For teaching us how to walk, how to learn, and how to make a difference. For taking care of us when you barely had enough time to take care of yourself. For comforting us when we felt alone and afraid. For lifting us up when others put us down. For the rides, the meals, the laundry, and the birthday parties. For the years, tears, laughter, and love. It's not enough, but we want to say thank you.
All the moms in the room, we honor you. Well, today I want to talk about a mother's legacy, and not just a mother's legacy, but the legacy of a godly mom, a godly woman. I understand, I'm very aware that Mother's Day can be very hard for people. I look around the room and I notice that there are a few missing, and I can understand why. I also understand from the point of a child, an adult child especially, where your relationship with your mother was not a good one or an easy one, or maybe your mother was not in the picture, maybe because of multiple relationships with your parents and parent figures. You have a very difficult and hurtful view of a mom. Maybe for yourself as a mom, you've felt your own inadequacies, you felt your own difficulties, and it hits home. And so today it's my hope, through just some examples in the Word of God, that not only can you find some hope and some healing from the Lord when it comes to His purpose and His desire for mothers in our life, but also especially women, but men, please take note, because there's some good stuff in here for you, of the influence that you have as a woman, that God is going to use you, if He's not already using you, and I think He is, to make a difference in the lives of young people and older people as well. My family, we have many mothers in our life, women who have invested in Angie and I and in our children's lives, and now even in our grandchildren's lives, and they're not biologically or legally a mother in our life, but they have taken ownership of the influence that they have. And so I hope that today's message challenges you, especially women, but like I said, men, take note. There's some good stuff in here for you as well. There's a powerful influence, a powerful legacy that you can leave, as God has intended for a mother to give. Where the legacy or the influence of a mother in your life is broken, hear from the Lord that he has a better way, and He knows and He understands where you're at, and He wants there to be healing and comfort for you, as well as hope. You know, my mother taught me religion. When I spilled juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me logic, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me planning. Make sure you wear clean underwear when you go out, just in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony, Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me stamina. You sit here till that eggplant is all finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. And my mother taught me about life and death. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. You know, we all have a mother, right? I mean, that's how we got here. We have a mother. And our experiences, again, are different one from another when it comes to a mother. Some have great experiences and others don't. Regardless of the experiences or the examples that have been in your life, I hope that today's message inspires mothers-to-be and women who understand the power of their influence, what the kind of a legacy a mother and essentially a woman of God looks like today. For the women whom biological motherhood has not been a reality for you, God sees and he knows your heart, and he can be glorified through your example of what a woman after his own heart looks like. It has been said this: motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath. And today I want to take a look at a few women in the Bible who lived the sacrifice and the reward. And hopefully you'll see that, especially your kids, young kids. And I'm 46, so you're all kids to me if you're like under 30 now. But, you know, kids and adult kids, you know, look at what God has intended and the women who came before who set an example. Consider Eve, a pioneering mother, literally the first mother. Genesis 3:20 says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. She was the first woman and the first mother. There's just a little bit of a ring, guys, if you can kind of figure that one out. The first woman and the first mother, and guess what she didn't have? She didn't have a mother. Think about that. The very first woman that God made did not have a mother, and yet became the mother of all living, right? No pressure there. She did not have a mother as an example, but consider in Genesis, it says that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the garden. You see, Eve was a woman who had God as her example, God as her teacher, God as her helper in this new task, this previously unknown calling and responsibility of motherhood. She's only named four times in the Bible, yet her life affects every one of us as the first woman and the first mother. Maybe you find yourself without an example of a good mother, and yet Eve walked with God. She found fellowship, she found wisdom, she found instruction, she even found an example. You know, many times throughout the scripture, the prophets especially would use motherly terms to describe the actions of God towards his children. Talk about like a nursing mother, you know, just the idea of closeness and protection and provision and intimacy, but also like a mother hen would take those wings around her little chicks, like the mother puts herself between children and danger. All of these things we see in the character of God, and Eve was able to learn from that. Eve also understood the heartbreak of losing children. She lost one of her sons, Abel, to a murderous son, Cain. How devastating it must have been for her to see her children not where they should be in the purpose and plan of God, a woman who was familiar with that kind of heartbreak. And also, for the most part, was a woman who lived in obscurity. We hear about Adam, and we understand Adam's effect, both positive and negative, on us, and the little bit that is mentioned of her in the New Testament unfortunately isn't very flattering, and that has to be hard. And yet, God, I think, you think of her name, Mother of All Living, first woman, first mother, and what a special and exalted role that she had in God's design for human creation. I want you to consider Sarah. She was a waiting mother. Eve was a pioneering mother. Sarah was a waiting mother. Genesis 21, verse 1 says, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised." And at 90 years old, she became pregnant with her first child, the promised child. Now, I have to tell you, like, as a dad, I'm kind of like done being a dad in the sense of like having any new kids. You know what I mean? Can you imagine as a woman having a child very late in life? I can't imagine that. Dudes, we can't. But just like, it's just kind of a wild story and a wild example to us of a mother who watched women in her life have children. And she became a mother influence, a grandmother influence to so many, I'm sure. But we even see in the dynamic of God promising that she would bring forth Abraham's true son and that she would be a mother to many. As she reaches that lateness in her life, I do believe she lived to be about 125, 130, well, which is a long time compared to what most of us live now. But she still lived many, 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 many decades wondering if God's promise for her would come true. You know, her name was Sarai. You see that in Genesis when we're first introduced to Abraham, whose name was Abram, and Sarai. Sarai means princess of her family, whereas Sarah means the princess or the queen of all families. See, God took her from this focus on her family and what she did not have, because she didn't have her own children. She didn't have that next generation from her own body to be able to invest in. But then God moved her into the princess or the queen of all families, particularly all who believe. You know, Abraham was called the father of faith, and Sarah was his wife, the mother of all who believe. One of the things that we can learn from her example of being a waiting mother is that there are seasons of waiting in our lives, a very long season for her, and maybe you've experienced that in your own life. Waiting is hard, but God sees, and God knows, and God has made promises that he intends to keep, and that doesn't always look like what we want or what we expect, and especially for a mother to get past age when those angel dudes show up and say, "Abram, your wife Sarah is going to have a son." And she laughs because she's past childbearing age. There's no way. And understandably, she laughs, and God hears that, and her son's name, Isaac, means laughter. A reminder to her that when she had given up, then the Lord showed up to say, "I'm going to keep my promise." And she laughed, understandably. And so she had that constant reminder with Isaac's life of not just the laughter at the end of hope, but now the new laughter of a child in her life, a child that she could hold and call her very own. So we see Eve, a pioneering mother, Sarah, a waiting mother. We see Hannah, a praying mother. In 1 Samuel 1:15, she is just in total grief at her inability to have children. The Bible actually addresses infertility a lot, and I would encourage you to find hope from the Word of God for infertility. But in her situation and in that culture, she was one of two wives to her husband. And she's watching the other wife have many children. And she is understandably hurt and understandably trapped and understandably hopeless at the thought of her having a child. And so she goes into the praying place there outside of the tabernacle where the people would gather. And she is weeping there by the altar. And she is so hysterical in her weeping that Eli, the prophet, assumes she's drunk. And she's under the influence, and he goes to chastise her, and she responds, "I'm not. I'm so brokenhearted. I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord."
Here's a woman who got to the end of her own sense of identity and her own sense of resources, her own sense of hope. And she just pours her soul out in this genuine heartbroken prayer before the Lord. And the Lord answers her prayer and gives her a son named Samuel, who she chooses to give him back to the Lord. She dedicates her son Samuel, her firstborn, the answer to prayer, and she dedicates him to the Lord's service. And when he is old enough, it says when he was weaned, then she brought him to the tabernacle to work for the priest for the rest of his life. And we know that Samuel would grow up to become the prophet that God would use to bring in the new kingdom of Israel through King Saul and then King David. His life was a significant life. His impact upon the history of the Jewish people at that time cannot be understated, but it all began with a praying mother who poured out her heart to God in brokenness, and God saw that, and he answered her prayer. God blessed her with 5 more children after Samuel. Hannah's prayer and thanksgiving and sacrifice, you can see recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I would encourage all of us to read that. Matter of fact, let's just do that now. It won't be up on the screen, but I just want you to hear the prayer of a woman who found victory, who found strength, who found just glory in the fact that the Lord answered her prayer and gave her a son. It's kind of a battle prayer. Check this out. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn or my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." I think it's pretty amazing to me that she goes from a woman desperate to a woman confident in the power and the strength and the possibility of the Lord and his sovereignty. Consider the power of prayer to move a nation. You think that Hannah, she prayed for a son. God gave her Samuel. He changed the course of a nation's history by the way that God used him, all beginning with a praying mother. And so again, we see in Eve a pioneering mother, and Sarah a waiting mother, and Hannah a praying mother. We see in Mary, the mother of Jesus, a willing mother. In chapter 1 of Luke, verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." But if you consider Mary's position, Mary was very young, probably somewhere between 16 and 18 years old, when the angel of the Lord visited her and said, "You are highly favored among women, and you are going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Savior of the world." And immediately, I'm sure she considered the possibility of all of that. But as the words were forming and coming out of her lips, her response is, "I am the servant of the Lord." She'd asked an honest question: how can this be, since I've not known a man? I'm still a virgin. And he said, "The Holy Spirit will conceive within, and you will bring forth a son." Understanding that that's probably not a narrative that most, if any, would believe, she still said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And I think oftentimes when we consider what God might call us to do, if we truly gave our lives full devotion and obedience to him, what would we have to give up? What kind of misunderstanding, ridicule, or shame would we have to endure as Mary did? And yet the result for her as she submitted herself to the Lord was to be called blessed above all women. It's a very difficult position that she found herself in. And yet, as she began to understand more and more what God was calling her to, there's a prayer of hers found in Luke chapter 1. And I'll just read a few verses starting in verse 46 of Luke 1. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You know, Mary considered God to be her Savior. She did not understand or think that she was co-redeemer, as some believe. She looked to God as her Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And for behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. In misunderstanding, in ridicule, in shame, in difficulty, in hardship, in isolation, that includes loneliness, Mary chose to be a willing servant of God. That she saw her daily life as a small part of God's bigger plan for humanity. She had the blessing of bringing forth the Savior. And can you imagine the pressure there of raising the Son of God? Have you ever heard of the comedian Michael Jr.? He talks about the pressure to be one of Jesus's brothers or sisters. And how his parents may have said things like, hey James, well, why can't you be like your brother Jesus? You know, he made wine, you know, for the wedding. You know, are you going to turn water into wine? He walked on the water, you know. Are you going to walk on the water too? And you think of the parents' pressure, Joseph and Mary, when he was about 12 years old and they were in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they're on this little caravan with hundreds of people and heading back to their hometown of Nazareth. And then Joseph says, hey, Mary, where's Jesus? And Mary says, I thought he was with you. And it turns out they're about a day away from Jerusalem at this point, and they can't find him. And so they go back to Jerusalem, and they're looking for him everywhere. And he is in the courts of the temple, and he's sitting there, it says, with the teachers of the law, with all these scholars and theologians, and they're astounded at the words that are coming out of a 12-year-old's mouth. And they run up to him in a panic. Jesus, why did you do this to us? You know, you almost gave your mom a heart attack, you know, those kind of things. And Jesus said, in all respect, he said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And you have to wonder what Mary felt and what she was thinking. It says that when the wise men came to bring their gifts to Mary, and all of these things were happening and people were excited, it said that Mary treasured these things in her heart and pondered on them. What kind of things is God doing in the moments of mothering, in the moments of parenthood, in the moments of your life where maybe others won't know the extent of what you feel or what you've experienced, but it is an opportunity for you to ponder in your heart the majesty and the wonder and the greatness of God. As she's saying in verse 49 of Luke 1, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. You want to lift your circumstance as a mother, as a father, as a man, as a woman. Go from looking at maybe the difficulty of your situation and look up and say, wow, he is mighty and he has done great things for me. When I look at our children, when I look at the children in this room, I see great things that God has done. I see great potential and possibility for the future of our churches and our communities and our country and our children. And it takes a mother, a godly mother, dedicated to be the influence that God has placed in those children's life as much as it takes for godly men and godly fathers. But Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. She was willing to do what God had called her to, despite the difficulty. And so in Eve, we see a pioneering mother, Sarah, a waiting mother, Hannah, a praying mother, Mary, a willing mother. And finally, in Eunice, we see a faithful mother. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy, an adult. He is in his team as they plant churches and those things. He is looking at his life, and he wants to remind Timothy of how Timothy got to where he was. And he said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first, check this out, in your grandmother Lois. How many grandmothers we have in the room today? Powerful, powerful influence. But Lois raised Eunice, his mother. And he says, and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. You know, wherever a woman begins their journey of faith, that is where they begin to build their legacy of faith. You know, a mother, again, as we talked about at the beginning, it can be a complicated situation for some. But God is the God of second chances and third chances and 27th chances. And so I would encourage those who may have a strained relationship with their mother, and maybe their mother has become a Christian or has really gotten serious, to look in the best of what your mother or your grandmother can provide. If you're a mother in a position and you feel like maybe you could have done better, look at the legacy of faith you can begin to impart now, today. At some point, Grandma Lois and Mama Eunice decided to impart their faith to Timothy. When you become a mother, you have the opportunity, the privilege, and dare I say, the responsibility of providing spiritual legacy to your children and to your grandchildren. And consider the influence of faithful women of God. Again, as I said earlier, my wife and I, we have mothers in our life who aren't biological, but their influence is equal to and sometimes even more than our own biological mothers. And just consider that power that you have as a woman. You know, when God was describing wisdom, he didn't describe, you know, some sort of a demigod like Thor, right? No, he describes a woman, a graceful, strong, powerful woman as the embodiment of wisdom. And I want you to consider, women, that God has given you a unique ability to influence men and women and children. God has given you a unique strength and resilience, a unique depth of character. And you can run from it or you can embrace it. And you can be that woman that when someone thinks of your influence in their life, they think of things like wisdom, faithfulness, patience, pioneering, prayer, a willingness to do whatever God has called you to do. And it is never too late. It is never too late. Maybe children are grown. Maybe grandchildren are far away. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to have your own children. And yet, as a woman, your influence begins the moment you say, like Mary did, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Do to me according to your word. When Solomon is writing about a woman, no doubt the best example he ever had of a woman in his life, one of the things that was said is her children rise up and call her blessed. And so if you have the capacity to today, I would encourage you to reach out to that mom in your life, that motherly influence, that wise woman in your life, and to tell her how blessed you are because of her and how she is a blessed woman because of what God has been able to accomplish through her life. In the heartache of maybe not having a mother in your life that was a good example or someone that you would want to be like, you have the opportunity today to change for the next generation. That the legacy that you leave for your children, your grandchildren, can be so much different than what was handed to you. You know, we have no control over who our parents are, right? You weren't there to cast the vote, right? But you have the ability to determine what kind of a parent you will be, what kind of a woman you will be, what kind of a mother you will be, what kind of an influence you will be. And the challenge for all of us is to look at our situation and instead of looking down at how bad it is, looking up and asking God, how can you make what is not beautiful into something beautiful? How can you make what is a mess into something that brings glory to your name? And that's what God does. God takes brokenness and he takes pain and he takes the difficulties. He takes what we lack and he turns that into something so amazing for us and for the people around us. And I was reading something the other day about this guy who was talking about spiritual disciplines, things like prayer and fasting and Sabbath and those things. And he said, the thing that I look at when I practice those things is what does it do for the people around me? Because I've been called to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. And so women and men alike, and whatever your spiritual disciplines and your spiritual practices as a Christian, how is that giving out to the next generation? If you can think of a marathon runner and you've been given a torch and you're running with that torch and you take it to a destination and you light it so the Olympic Games can start, right? We've had that recently. We'll have that again here in Utah in a few years. It's an example of the responsibility of carrying that torch and passing it off to the next generation so they have a light to guide them, so they have truth and wisdom and love and understanding and knowledge to guide them into the future. Because at some point, you're not going to be able to pick up the phone or send the card, or send a text message, or go to lunch with mom again. But what mom does in your life, what you do as a mom in your children, your grandchildren's life, what you can do as women in the lives of the people that God gives you influence over, is you can give them a flame to carry into the future, something to guide them into a very, very dark future. If you're a hopeful person, impart hope. If you have been given the love of God, impart love. If you have understanding about God's word and even practical things about life, like I can actually sew a button onto a shirt because my mom taught me. I can make bread. Did you guys? I can make bread from scratch. Now I'll need a recipe, but because of my mom, I can do that. I can tie my shoes because of a Marine on an airplane from Iceland to Philadelphia, who said, you need to know how to tie your own shoes, young man. And I was little, it's like 1986. Right? There's people in your life, mother, Marine, father, neighbor, who have imparted something to you. And as an adult, you have skills, you have understanding to be able to do certain things. So don't underestimate the power of your legacy as an influence to the next generation. So moms, we honor you today. Grandmas, we honor you today. Adopted moms, foster moms, stepmoms, we honor you today. And we also ask the Lord to give us help and healing and hope in the areas where we didn't have the best when it came to a mother. God knows, he sees, he understands, and he wants to use you and use me and use us to break the cycles and to give something better to the next generation. Let's pray and thank God for all that he's provided to us. Father, we come to you today thanking you so much for what you have provided to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, for your design for the influence of a woman, especially as a mother, continuing as a grandmother, having influence that men simply don't have. There's a mystique and a gentleness. There's a strength and a wisdom, Lord, found in a woman that we need in our lives. And so, Lord, where that has been lacking and we didn't have the best examples for those in this room, who that's their story, Lord, I pray for your healing and for your hope for them, that the next generation can be better because of them. Lord, I pray for the mothers who sacrifice day in and day out, giving some of the best years of their life, of their strength, of their energy, of their youthfulness, Lord, to raising children. Lord, would you remind them that they are in a holy purpose, a holy calling, to impart into these children's hearts and minds your love and your wisdom, your truth and your light. Father, where Mother's Day brings sadness for many reasons, maybe the inability to have children or miscarriages, broken marriages and children in different homes, Lord, all those things are so difficult to deal with. Lord, give us a peace that you see and you know and you understand, and that there's grace for those situations. Lord, we receive your grace for our lives today, where we need to forgive a mother, a grandmother, someone in our life. Give us the grace to do it. Give us the grace, Lord, to accept things as they are in those relationships and to put some things to rest. But Lord, then to accept that there's a better way. And that better way begins with each one of us. So show us today what that looks like, Lord. And thank you for the legacy of Eve and Sarah, of Hannah and Mary, of Eunice and Lois, and so many other mothers in the scripture, as well as the mothers in our lives. Lord, thank you that we are better people today because of these examples. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.